example of just grace and grit, then hey, praise God, choir. God is good. Now, all right, my job is simply to briefly teach and explain in words what the choir has just taught and explained in song. My task is difficult because you have already sat and listened for a long time. Listening for any amount of time is hard. Now I'm asking you to sit and listen to my regular words after sitting and listening to all that beautiful singing. So the task is tall, I know. There is really, really good food waiting. We're going to have a lot of fun and eat a lot of good things here in a little bit. Good physical food. But first, we want to take just a couple of minutes to get into God's Word and consider some spiritual food together. So I do. I encourage you. I know it's hard to listen. I encourage you to open up God's Word and follow along with me. Because we do believe that God has spoken to us. We believe that God speaks to us through a book, the Bible, the very Word of God. And if the God who has made us has spoken to us, well, shouldn't we maybe pay much attention to those words? So all that we do in the sermon time, all that I do, is we open up a portion of the Bible, I read it, I try and explain what it means, and I try and apply it to our lives. And so I want to do that this morning for you for just a couple of minutes from John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Now, there's a Bible there in front of you. If you don't have one, you can find our passage on page 886. John 1, verses 4 and 5, page 886. Why John chapter 1? Well, because it's Christmas, and John 1 is the perfect Christmas text. This is my favorite Christmas text. And also, just I've been missing John's gospel, and I've been looking for an excuse to go back to John and dip back into my favorite book. So here we are. Now, we are also here providentially because I was recently watching World Watch with my girls. The Brimmers turned us on to World Watch. If you're not aware of it, it's a 10-minute news show from a Christian perspective. It's excellent. Check it out if you've got kids. But 2 weeks ago on World Watch, they showed a clip of President Trump at the lighting of the National Christmas Tree. And Trump said this before flipping the switch and turning on the lights. Here's what he said. "During this holy season, Christians everywhere rejoice at the miracle in Bethlehem, more than 2,000 years ago, when the Son of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, came down from heaven to be with us, full of grace and truth. He brought the gift of God's love into the world and the promise of salvation for every person and every nation. Tonight, this beautiful evergreen tree glows bright in the dark and cold winter night and reminds us of the words of the Gospel of John, 'In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind.' With the birth of Jesus, human history turned from night to day. His word and example call us to love one another, serve one another, and honor the sacred truth that every child is made in the image of God." Sounds pretty good. Immediately, Lila looked at me and asked, does he actually believe that? And without even thinking, I quickly replied, well, no, sadly, he does not. Now, I'm taking a risk here, even mentioning the word Trump. Everyone on every side gets offended, so I know that. I'm trying to be careful here. Listen, only God knows the heart, and I'm not saying anything at all about what you think or what I might think about Trump's presidency or Trump's character. We're not talking about any of those things. I am taking President Trump at his own words here. A couple of months ago, in regards to his attempts to broker a peace deal between Ukraine and Russia, President Trump said this: "I want to try and get to heaven, if possible. I'm hearing I'm not doing very well. I am really at the bottom of the totem pole. But if I can get to heaven, this will be one of the reasons. But I don't think there is anything that is going to get me there, okay?" Pretty stunning and telling words. Here is the most powerful man in the world, a man who has everything, a man who projects an appearance of extreme confidence, and yet here we get a glimpse behind the curtain at some fear and uncertainty, and a clear proof that he has no idea what the gospel is all about. Maybe if I can do this really good thing that would be the ending of a really bad war, maybe then I can get to heaven. Is that how it works? And what about you? How do you think that anyone gets to heaven? Well, if only President Trump and all of us would heed the words that he read at the tree lighting, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." So, President Trump got me thinking about John 1:4, and so now you are stuck hearing about John 1:4. And so we're going to take just a couple of minutes and talk from this text about light. Light is what President Trump needs. Light is what every single one of us needs. The cantata opened with the first line, "While the world was dark and silent on a never-ending night, in the sky there shined a holy light." And then they sang of Christ to come, Christ come to disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows put to flight. So three themes are found there that are also found in our two verses, short and simple for the rest of our time. Three quick points: light, dark, and life. Three basic truths I want you to see and hear today. Jesus is the light of the world. The world is darkness and death. And Jesus Christ is life. Let's read God's word of life. I'm going to read for you John chapter 1. I invite you to follow along as I read. I'm going to read the whole of verses 1 through 18 because it's so wonderful, but we will be focusing on verses 4 and 5. Please do pay attention as this is what God wants to say to you today. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, 'This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. God, the only Son, who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." You would bow with me for a moment and let me pray for our time. Father, please help us. Father, we are already tired. We are already thinking and looking forward to lunch. Father, we have good things ahead. I pray that you would help us to be attentive to your word for the next few minutes. Help me to be clear. Help me to be correct. Father, help me to glorify Christ. Show us Christ and draw us to him, we ask in this short time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we begin with light. Point number one, Jesus is the light of the world. And I am stealing the wording of that point from John 8, verse 12. But first, light in general. Listen, we all love light. Kids are scared of the dark. Many adults are made sad by the dark. There's a whole condition, maybe some of you are experiencing it right now, seasonal affective disorder, SAD, which is thought to stem from a lack of light. We turn on lights when we enter a room because we want to see. We don't like walking down dark, unlit New York streets. One of the best parts about Christmas in the city is the lights, if only there was a way to enjoy them without all the tourists. We love light. We need light. We are drawn toward light. Light feels glad. Dark feels gloomy. And these, right, darkness and light, are just universal human experiences. We all understand the basic ideas here and the meaning and the significance of these symbols. Darkness and light also, then, are universal religious symbols. Hanukkah and Diwali are both festivals of light in Judaism and Hinduism. In Islam, the Quran is often referred to as the light, and the end of Ramadan is marked with lights. There are various Buddhist light and lantern festivals and all sorts of pagan light rituals and ceremonies. And so when John writes of light and darkness in verses 4 and 5, he is playing off of this universal experience we all have of these ideas central to life. Look closely at verses 4 and 5. Notice the pattern that John gives here of these main nouns. He goes, life, life, light, light, darkness, darkness. That's where our outline is coming from. Now we're going in a different order. We're saving life, the best, for last. But even here with the light, we're going to quickly see the light, life, and darkness, death connections. But first, we clearly, as we read John 1, see John and Genesis connections. The beginning of John is intentionally pointing back to the beginning of Genesis. The Bible and everything begins with, in the beginning, God. And so when John begins with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, John wants you to know right out of the gates, first and foremost, that this Jesus who is coming, this Jesus whom everything about, is God himself. Verse 3 tells us that he is the creator of everything. He is the creator of you. But we're having to skip these hugely significant three verses to get to verse 4 and 5 and the light that is still directing us back to Genesis chapter 1. I find it fascinating that the very first words that God himself is recorded as speaking are, "Let there be light." Literally, the first thing God says is something about light. The first noun that God speaks is light. And then what follows? What is Genesis 1 all about? Life. Everything. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, the God of life created life. And that is ultimately what the symbol of light is about. Light gives life. No sun, no life. No light, no life. And so John jumps on this symbol in his fourth verse, and then he runs with it throughout his whole book. John uses the word light 23 times. That's more than double any other New Testament book. This is one of John's main themes. You know, he just kept repeating the word in John chapter 1. John is constantly talking about life and light. And life is light, and life is symbolized by light. It's a rich symbol that communicates many things. Light guides, light guards, light gives, light reveals, light warms, light comforts. But the big idea is that light gives life. And that's where we're going. That's the beginning. Let there be light, and there was life. And that will be the end as well. Have you ever noticed that the first chapter of the Bible is about light, and the last chapter of the Bible is about light? Revelation 22, verse 4 says, "Night will be no more. They will need no light, for the Lord God will be their light." So this is huge. This is a significant theme in Scripture. The beginning and end of the Bible are about light. And the beginning and the end of John's writings are about light. And it's no wonder then that at the beginning of his letter, 1 John 1, verse 5, he writes, "God is light." And so all that light is and all that light does, God does. Light is and does what it is because God, the creator of all, the creator of light, is and does what he does. And so into all of that context, when Jesus then comes and he stands up and he cries out in John 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world," he is making the biggest possible claim. He is making the most important claim ever made. This man is claiming to be God himself. This man is claiming to be the creator. He is claiming to be the one who is and does all that light is and does. The Christ who is light is God. We most want you to hear and know today that Jesus the Christ is so much more than any of us think that he is. He is not just a man, but he is the God man. He is not just a teacher of the truth, but the truth itself. He is not just a doer of goodness, but goodness itself. He is not the founder of Christianity. He is Christianity itself. Christ is the point of all of this. He's the point of everything. He is the light of the world. You want light, You need light. But why? Now, why do you? Why do I need light? Well, quickly, point number two, it's because of the dark. Because the world is darkness and death. Look back at our text. John loves contrast. Well, here's John's first contrast. In verse 4, we have life, life, light. And then in verse 5, we read, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. What is darkness? Well, most simply, it's just the opposite of light. If light reveals, darkness conceals. If light is knowledge, darkness is ignorance. If light comforts, darkness discourages. If light is goodness, darkness is wickedness. The big idea, again, if light is life, darkness is death. Why is our point the world is darkness and death? Well, sneak down and look at verse 9. Look at what John writes in verse 9. The true light, that's Christ, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. How do we know that the world is darkness and death? Well, many ways. You could just read the news. It pretty quickly becomes pretty clear that the world is darkness and death. There's wars and shootings and vitriol and contempt and division politically and culturally and globally. More importantly, just look within. Right? Our own hearts are divided and confused. We know there is right and wrong, good and bad, darkness and light. We know that we should love and care for others and care about significant things that matter, but we are all just so selfish and self-concerned. We're too busy with TikTok and Netflix to care about pursuing things of significance. People. And yet when we do look around, the need is just too overwhelming. There is so much sadness. We live in the safest, richest, most comfortable society in human history. And yet we are the most miserable and most medicated, the most distracted, discontented, discouraged, disconsolate, distressed, and depressed society in human history. The world is darkness and death. Just look around and look within. But the clearest revelation of the true nature of the world and its darkness and death is verse 10. The clearest revelation is what the world does when the maker of the world comes. It is in our rejection of the Creator who is light and life that we reveal ourselves and our world as darkness and death. Flip over to John chapter 3, verse 19. It's just a page away. Look at John 3, 19. We all rightly love the wonderful John 3, 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's the gospel. That's the good news. That's where we will end. But we often stop reading after John 3:16. Like, that's the only verse. No, there's more. Look at verse 19. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. The world is darkness and death. Why? Because the world, created by and for the God who is light and life, has rejected its maker. The world and every single one of us has chosen darkness and evil instead of light and good. And why do we do that? It's profoundly simple and completely deadly. Because we want to be in control. We want to do what we want to do. We don't want any authority outside of us or over us. We want life to be of and from and for us, about us. Well, simply, we want to be God. And we want there to be no other. And the Bible refers to this simple, deadly, universal human condition with the short word sin. And the Bible tells us, Romans 3:23, that all have sinned. It tells us, 3:10, that none is righteous, no one does good. And the result of this, the consequences, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. If sin is simply our attempt to be God, which first includes our rejection of God, and if he is the God of light and life, well then in our sin, we choose and we are left only with darkness and death. You reject the God of life, you get death. And that's the world. That's what we have all done. All have sinned. I have sinned. You have sinned. God made us to know him, and we all said no to him. And as he is the God of light and life, perfect in goodness, indescribable in glory, incomparable in beauty, there is no greater evil. There is no greater injustice than to reject and hate and turn away from this good God who made you. This is where President Trump goes so wrong. This is where he demonstrates he has no understanding of the gospel. If I do this good thing, maybe I can get into heaven. What about you? What do you believe about that? What we all so desperately need to hear and understand before we can appreciate and believe the good news is this bad news. There is no good thing you can do to get to heaven. You could end a war, and it won't be a good enough thing to get you into heaven. There is no good that is good enough that qualifies us for the perfect God. The whole world is basically telling you the same thing. Hey, just do your best, be sincere, be relatively good, and you'll be all right. But I want to be very, very clear that that is not at all the message that the choir is singing or that I am proclaiming. You may be here today, and you may be a very nice person, relatively moral. You're not running around committing murder. You give to charity on occasion. You're a decent person, better than most. That's great, and that is dangerous, because the Bible is very clear. The main thing, the only thing that ultimately matters is your relationship with the God who made you, the God who is life and light. And any sin, one sin, separates us from the perfect God of light and life. If you, like me, come into this room today not perfect, then you come into this room not good enough for God and not good enough for heaven. You come into this room as a sinner, and you come into this room in a state of darkness and death. Christ is light, but the world is darkness and death. If you have not been made right with God, then you too are darkness and death. So what can be done? Better yet, what has been done? Point number three, let's close with the life. Jesus is life. Look back at our text. Look at the progression. Jesus is the Word who is God, verse 1. Verse 3, he made the world. Now look at verse 9. The one who made the world is coming into the world. How? Merry Christmas. Look at verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, the Word and Son of God took on flesh. He became one of us to save us. Jesus the Christ is God himself in flesh. Jesus is both truly God and truly man, and he has come for us. That's the grace part of verse 14. Look at verse 16. Notice that we see grace again, grace upon grace. Verse 17, again, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Verse 18, no one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. You want to know God? Look to Jesus Christ. You want to know what God is like? Look to the Christ who is light and life, grace and truth. And what is the most important truth that you need to know? Where is this grace most fully revealed? In the very reason that this Jesus has come to save us from that sin. That's what the angel announces to Joseph in Matthew 1:21. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's what John the Baptist announces later in John 1, verse 29. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And how does Jesus do that? Why was Jesus born? He was born to die. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. That wage must be paid. That wrong must be made right. Justice must be done for the most evil and wicked thing that is sin and pride and unbelief. But God, But the good news of the gospel that we most want you to hear today is that Jesus does it for us. The Son of God comes to live in our place and to die in our place, and then he rises again. And in so doing, life defeats death and light overcomes darkness. The good news of the gospel is that you are not good and that I am not good, but that Christ is, and he is gracious and he is kind. And if you would come to him and turn away from your sin, the Bible calls this repenting and believing. If you come to him and turn away from your sin, you will be forgiven and not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus is life. And when life submitted itself to death for us, in our place, for the forgiveness of our sins, death was defeated and darkness was driven out. Light and life are there for anyone and everyone who will come to Christ and believe. That's what we are all about here. He is who we are all about here. The Jesus who is the point of everything. The Jesus who is light and life. I read through the other day the whole cantata, and I just noted down everything that they said and sang about this Jesus. Were you paying attention very quickly? Who is this Jesus that we sing and speak about? They sang that he is King, King of kings, Lord, the great I am, Son of God, Dayspring, Desire of nations, our Savior, Prince of Peace, the grace of God, the Christ, the Messiah, the Lord of lords, Emmanuel, the perfect one, meekness and majesty, the King of eternity, visible image of invisible God, the Lamb who died that we might live. Hallelujah. What a Savior. What if Jesus actually is all of these things and has actually done this very thing? Do you know this Christ? There is nothing better. There is no true light and life apart from him. No greater thing could happen this Christmas than for you to turn to Christ and live. If you are visiting with us today, let me encourage you and invite you to do one very specific, simple, and practical thing. If you are new to this or not really sure what you think of all this, or if you've been going to church sometimes for a long time because that's just culturally what you were raised with, let me encourage you and invite you simply to read John's gospel. That's all I'm asking you to do in light of today. We just read the first 18 verses. It took a couple of minutes. You can read the whole gospel in less than 2 hours. Christmas is Thursday. What if you took 30 minutes for the next 4 days to read the whole of John's gospel, finishing on Christmas Day? Or if that sounds like a lot, just read a chapter a day and you can read the whole book in 3 weeks. Ask God to show you Christ. Ask God to help you to see and to understand and to believe. The whole point of this book is to reveal to you the one who is the point of everything. The one who is light and life, the defeater of death. To show you your need for him. To lead you to put your trust in him. And to help you receive the greatest and most important gift ever given. Christ himself and life in him forever. This book is all about Jesus. This book is all about how you can find salvation in Christ, the light and life of the world. So I simply invite you to give it a try. Give it a read. And if you want someone to read with you, come find me. I'll read with you. Someone around you will come read with you. If you don't have a Gospel of John, come find me and we will give you one. And we will send you home with one. You will find no one like Christ. I invite you to take some time to seriously consider him. And church, brothers and sisters in Christ, our application is really no different. I've been reading Hebrews, and the point of Hebrews is Jesus is better. And the book keeps telling us, consider him, look to him, pay much closer attention. Jesus is better. He is light and life. He's the light and life that we need both objectively and subjectively. Seek what you are looking and longing for in Christ. He has come, and he is coming. And the end that comes with him is very, very good. Wait, trust him. Church, in Christ, God loves you. Jesus is light. Jesus is life. And he is the only solution to the darkness and death of this world. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you first for the great gift of song. Thank you for the choir. Thank you for all their hard work. We thank you for the great gift of your word. It is a living and active word. It is the means through which you reveal yourself to us, the means through which you speak to us, are present with us, the means through which you save us. So, Lord, I ask that you would do that very thing now. I pray that your Spirit would work through your word to show us Christ. Father, every heart in this room needs something slightly different. And so I pray that you would minister what is most needed to each and every one of us. For those who are still dead in their trespasses and sins, Father, show them their sin. And more importantly, show them the goodness and the glory and the grace of Jesus Christ. Father, save sinners through the work of your Son, Jesus Christ. For those of us who, by your grace, have already found life, I pray that you would bring us encouragement and hope and joy. Father, the holiday season can be difficult sometimes. Father, the darkness around us can be discouraging. But Father, you are with us, and you are for us, and you love us. May we know that love truly and deeply, Lord. May we know that you are with us, and that you are kind, and that you are good. Father, minister your grace and your peace to our hearts now. Father, you've been very, very good and gracious to us. We are very thankful for this time and for this church. Bless us, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name.